Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. The Juneau School Board held off on returning about $1 million in funding earmarked for childcare to the city and borough of Juneau amid questions about the current privately run program and the possibility of an additional operator in the future. Board Vice President Elizabeth Sidden said in a meeting on Tuesday that she still has questions about how things are going with the Auk Lake Preschool, like the status of its state licensing. Auk Lake Preschool started running an after-school program at the beginning of this school year after the district stopped operating its own.
I just think we're not ready, especially in a final reading, to make this decision. We don't have all the information about the programs and what options we have for kids at all of our sites.
Sidden says there's also a possibility for YMCA Alaska to expand its childcare program to Juneau, and that the city funding might be able to be used for that. Nate Root is the CEO of YMCA Alaska. The organization currently runs after-school childcare in Anchorage, the Mat-Su Borough, and Kodiak. Root said YMCA is looking into how feasible it would be to expand its after-school childcare program to Juneau. He toured three schools last year and says the organization is working on surveys to see how many families are interested in the program. He says running a program depends on how financially sustainable it would be, and it will still take a while to get licensed by the state if they move forward with starting a program in Juneau.
To be completely transparent, it would look like the soonest we would open a program would be the beginning of the 26-27 school year.
Derek Swanson is the co-owner of Auk Lake Preschool, which runs the current after-school childcare program out of three schools in the district. He said in an interview Friday that the program is currently unlicensed. Swanson says staffing issues have delayed the process, but with those now resolved, he plans to keep working on getting licensed.
It's been pretty successful overall. It was kind of a rush to get the program started and up and running, but now it seems to be running fairly smoothly.
The school board plans to discuss the state of the after-school childcare program and the remaining city funds at its facilities committee meeting on February 3rd. Alaska's capital city will soon have a new fire chief. The city and borough of Juneau named Thomas Hatley as the capital city fire rescue's new fire chief today. His first day will be February 9th. He was one of two finalists for the position to replace longtime fire chief Rich Etheridge, who retired at the end of December after more than 15 years leading the department. Hatley served as a deputy chief for the Spokane Valley Fire Department in Washington until April of this year, when he left due to a family medical reason. He has more than 30 years of experience in fire service, holding positions like fire chief, assistant chief, and fire marshal at multiple agencies in the Northwest. During a public candidate presentation in Juneau last month, Hatley said he was drawn to the position because of the complexities of Juneau's fire and emergency medical service needs. He pointed to its lack of outside support, large service area, and seasonal population surges. Hatley said he wanted to see the department focus on resolving its staffing issues, especially by retaining the department's employees. The Juneau Career Firefighters Union is currently at an impasse in its negotiations over a new contract with the city. Union representatives say uncompetitive wages and staffing shortages are driving people away from the department. The annual salary listed on the city's website for the position was between roughly $126,000 and $162,000. Cindy Cart, the city's human resource manager, is currently serving as acting chief. And a local master Chilcat and Raven's Tail Weaver has been awarded a national fellowship that bolsters culture and tradition across the United States. Lily Hope is one of the United States Artists awardees for 2026, which means she gets $50,000 toward her work with no strings attached.
It's a wild gift to have somebody just hand you some money and say, do what you will. There is absolutely zero parameters on how it is used.
The award is nomination-based. United States Artists partners with foundations and philanthropists to support artists and cultural practitioners of all disciplines. Hope's award was supported by the Rasmussen Foundation. Hope found out about the grant a few months ago, and she's been thinking of what she can do with it ever since. She's taught hundreds of weavers, and herself has weaved 7 Chilcat and Raven's Tail robes and ensembles, innumerable sets of earrings, face masks, and even regalia for Labubus. Recently, in a conversation with another weaver, Hope had a realization. She wanted to think deeply about the work she wants to do. That weaver was Shken Dutan George, or Shken.
And I kind of had a coming to reality moment with Shken. And thank you, Shken, for waking me up and being like, hey, what if you made regalia for your clan members, your family, and work that would stay in Tlingit Ani?
What will come of that deep thinking, Hope is excited to find out. She closed her public studio downtown last fall to focus on weaving that will stay in the community. Hope joins fellow Chilcat weaver, Saintine Anna Brown Ellers, who was awarded the fellowship in 2006. Several Several other Southeast Alaska artists have received the grant over the years, including writer Sean Kahl'at, Ernestine Hayes, Perseverance Theater Artistic Director Leslie Ishii, and carver Nathan Jackson. And Martin Luther King Jr. Day is coming up on Monday. It's a day to remember the legacy of the famous civil rights leader and a national day of service. In Juneau, the Alaska Bar Association will host a free legal clinic at Kunaihiri Northern Light United Church in the Flats from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and at St. Paul's Catholic Church in the Mendenhall Valley from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kevin Higgins is from the Alaska Bar Association, and he shared information about the clinic on Juneau Afternoon on Wednesday.
Really, anything can bring you in the door. And a lot of times what we're able to do at the clinic, you know, it's a very limited representation. It's not like we're going to be coming into court with you over the life of a potential case, but we can really kind of help you figure out how to orient yourself to the court system and what steps you can take next.
Higgins says they can help with any stage of a legal situation, including how to potentially avoid one. No appointments are required. You can find more information at alaskabar.org/MLK. Similar clinics are also happening Monday in Anchorage, Bethel, and Fairbanks. The Black Awareness Association of Juneau will also host a virtual MLK Day event on Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. It's advertised as a family-friendly service featuring soulful music and accounts from people whose lives were impacted by Dr. King. More information is available at baajuneau.org. Participants can register for the Zoom event there. And hundreds of healthcare workers and government officials are descending on Anchorage this week for the kickoff of a five-year, $1.3 billion program aimed at reimagining medical care across Alaska. The money comes from the Rural Health Transformation Program created by President Trump's signature tax and spending cut legislation passed last summer, the same legislation that pairs back Medicaid. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports.
The problem is no secret, says the state's former chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink.
We consistently see that people who live in rural areas, Alaska and beyond, have worse health outcomes with increased cost. And this is an opportunity to rethink the way that care is delivered to make sure no matter where you live, you have access to quality, timely, effective care.
Zink is working with the State Department of Health as it rolls out the program and spoke on a video call with reporters and state officials. Alaska's Rural Health Transformation Program is built around six goals, from improving maternal health, preventive care, and access to health care, to strengthening the workforce and rethinking how doctors and hospitals charge for care. That last point, what the state is calling pay for value, is a big one. Most medical care is what's known as fee for service. You go to the doctor, you get seen, you pay the doctor for their time, whether or not you get better. With pay for value, the idea is you pay for results. And that sounds great, says Department of Health Deputy Commissioner Emily Ricci, but
the realities of making that transition takes time, it's very challenging, and it will look different for every community and every provider and the provider types.
Say you have a rash. You go to the doctor. The doctor sends you to the dermatologist, who then sends you to the pharmacy for a medicated lotion. But does your primary care provider know what the dermatologist prescribed? Does your dermatologist know that your regular doctor tried that same medication with that hard-to-pronounce name 6 months ago? And does anyone know if you eventually get better? Maybe not. And Ricci says that's a problem they'd like to solve.
So how can we use this funding to begin now over the next 5 years, building out kind of the infrastructure, the concepts, the protocols, the data that providers need in order to kind of make that transition.
So technology is one point of focus for the first of what the Department of Health says will be a series of multi-day workshops in Anchorage. Health Commissioner Heidi Hedberg says the meetings, they're calling them convenings, are an effort to get as many stakeholders involved as possible, from cities and tribes to hospitals, medical providers, and vendors.
This funding is really to support what the community and region need. And every community and every region needs something different.
Under the $50 billion nationwide program, Alaska will receive roughly $273 million per year for 5 years. Hedberg calls it generational. But the elephant in the room, of course, is that the same tax cut legislation that created the program could also push many Alaskans away from the healthcare system, says Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association head Jared Kosin.
I appreciate and I see the bright side and the good things. Looking ahead, I talk about coverage disruptions with these enhanced premium tax credits expiring. We talk about coverage disruptions with the tightening of Medicaid ineligibility right around the corner.
And he says that would push healthcare costs up, because when people can't pay, hospitals have no choice but to shift those costs onto those who can. Kosin says he's also concerned the transition to a new administration after Governor Mike Dunleavy's term ends later this year could throw a wrench in the state's plans. Still, Dr. Zink is optimistic. She says the state's efforts to involve a wide range of stakeholders will help limit disruptions.
This is a project for Alaskans by Alaskans, and so the sustainability will be dependent on Alaskans.
Zink says she'd like Alaska to serve as a model for rural healthcare across the country. With additional reporting by Rachel Cassandra, reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 47 degrees and overcast. And there are currently no advisories or warnings about any disastrous weather from the National Weather Service. They say there's a high pressure system moving into the area, allowing for some quieter weather across Southeast Alaska. Tonight, we may still have some rain, 60% chance, with a low of 38 degrees. Tomorrow looks cloudy with a high of 44, and Sunday it looks like it could be sunny with a high of 45 degrees. That looks true into early next week as well. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org, and thank you for tuning in this afternoon.